We're glad you came tonight. You know, we're living in very serious, sobering times, and yet there is a hope that goes beyond the circumstances of the last days. And that hope is that our King will return very, very soon. And the promise we have from Him is until He returns is that He will be with us until He can take us home with Him. Amen. All the way, even unto the end of the age. As I said this morning, it's in the emphatic, in the scripture, I will never, no, never. It's not just I will never. He wanted to emphasize it. So in the actual Aramaic, it would be read this way. I will never, no, never forsake you. Amen. But I will go with you all of the way, even to the end of the age. And that's what caused cowards to become courageous martyrs for Jesus and preachers of the gospel. When he told them, I am with you always. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. That's all they needed. When you go through the fire, he said, he's there. You can choose to not recognize his presence and try to tough it out by yourself, or you can choose to recognize and enter into his presence and find that it won't kindle on you. Can you say amen? That's what I love about the Lord. He's so gracious in that respect. Hallelujah. God is so good. I know you've had a tough day because all days are tough in these days. But the Lord is still on the throne, and he's still good. He's still in the prayer answering business, and we're here to pray tonight. Now, all of you that have given all hope up on prayer, you have need of patience. That's what you need tonight. My standing prayer, and I join you, my standing prayer is, Lord, give me patience and hurry. I'm always in need of patience. Amen. But the Bible said we have need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, that we might receive the promise. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come, nothing to do with the rapture of the second coming of Jesus, everything to do with him bringing an answer to the prayers that we pray. Can you say amen? He that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. It seems like he's waiting too long. He's saying, I'm moving in my timing. When it's time, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do it my way and in my timing. So don't get impatient on me. Don't give up on me. Don't throw down your confidence in me, because there's great recompense of reward. You're going to be rewarded if you faint not. So let's encourage one another in prayer tonight as we get ready to pray for something that is so vitally important to ourselves, to our loved ones, to this nation, and literally to the nations of the world tonight. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor once again if he will come and lead us to the Lord in prayer tonight. And I'm going to trade microphones in the event that I need to put that one back. I don't have to trade anymore. Praise God. And Brother Taylor, if you'll move this way a little bit, we'll reach you with the cord tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hurting in her stomach. Yes, we can and we will. Father, in the name of Jesus, touch Kayla right now, right where she is. Lord, give her relief in her stomach that is aching tonight. It's ached before, and Father, we just rebuke the enemy, and if there's any kind of spiritual process going on here, but above all, we come to you to just stretch forth your hand to heal tonight and to make whole tonight. And Lord, let the nerves of the stomach itself calm down. Let there be no spasms in the stomach. Lord, let there be nothing wrong in the digestive system or tract. Lord, let there be healing come in the name of Jesus Christ and for the glory and honor of God. Father, we thank you for doing this for Kayla tonight, that she might know that you are the true and living God, Father. As prayer is already being answered to address and meet needs, we honor you and praise you here tonight. And everyone said amen, and amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Praise.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight for your great love, for your mercy, Lord, for your kindness, Lord. Lord, we heal. Lord, you came down, Lord God, from heaven, and conduct and walk this earth, Lord God. You lived a holy and a sanctified life, Lord. You did the will of the Father, Lord. And we praise you tonight, Lord God, for saving our souls, Lord. We're living in the end time, Lord, but we're depending upon you, Lord. We don't have a thing to worry about, Lord God, because we trust in you, Lord God, and you'll take care of the situation for your people, Lord. Stir our hearts tonight to pray and to reach out to you, Lord God. Let your divine will be done tonight, Lord God. Bless tonight, heal, deliver, set free, Lord. Meet every need this prayer, Lord God. Hear our cries tonight, Lord. Help us to cry unto thee out of a pure heart, being firm, sincere, and sound in the faith. Thank you for the victory, Father. In Jesus' name and for the glory of God, amen.
Glory to the Lord. Thank you, Father. You are in control tonight. And we do praise you. And we do honor you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows them that trust in him. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. You get a hint of what it really means to worship. David always had that attitude that was vertical in his worship. It was never horizontal. He didn't play for Saul when Saul asked him to play. Amen. Send me somebody that plays skillfully on an instrument. It would soothe me. He was so tormented and torn in his life, and the devil just tormented his mind, and they said, you know, the best musician we've ever heard doesn't play on the world stage for potentates. You know who he plays for? He plays out there for God while he's watching the sheep. You couldn't hire him if you had all the money in the world, but I'll tell him the King of Israel needs somebody to soothe him with music. And I know what David did. David sat down by Saul and praised God. And it brought Saul back to when he was a humble, submitted man. You know, that tension that many times we feel is not just between us and the world. It's not just between us and the flesh. Both the world and the flesh can be defeated if there's no tension between us and our God. Can you say, man, submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The tension is gone, and both areas, victory is come. But when God is saying, I want you to come closer to me. I want you to rearrange your life. I want you to reset your priorities. And we refuse to act on what we know he's called us in his word, amen, and by his Spirit to do. Then there's a tension between us and our God. God is not going to let up. He's not going to compromise. He's not going to make concessions. He's not going to take second place in my life or yours. Can you say amen? But he's not wanting first place to take something from you, but to give something to us that we desperately need. And that is his peace and his rest, his power and his presence, his promise. Hallelujah. Amen. That if we would put the kingdom first, he would take care of all the other issues of our life. What a wonderful God he is tonight. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will be continually in my mouth. When it comes from the heart, it changes in its essence before the Lord. It's not just sounds coming that he's listening to with his ear. It becomes transformed wonderfully into a sacrifice of praise. You know, when I first heard it, I had a pastor that, he looked at all the sad faces, and he was encouraging us to praise God anyhow. And you know, he said, you know, sometimes you just don't feel like praising God. So you offer him a sacrifice of praise. You make a sacrifice of praise. Well, nothing could be farther from the intent of Scripture. Because that just says, you know, I'm going to let my feelings, not what he did on the cross, but my feelings dictate. And I'm going to be feeling sorry for myself while I'm singing a song to honor him. I'm going to be central to this. And see, the thing about true worship is it's always conspicuous for its absence of self. Can you say amen? It's always vertical. It's always focused on him. And I'm not above complaining. Is there any more honest people in here that wave at me if You're not above it. I mean, you could actually find yourself doing it. Amen. I have too. Until I revisit Calvary. Every time I revisit the cross, every time I look through the eye of faith as I read the account, every time we are served the elements of the blood and body of Jesus, the representative elements, I have no room. No room for all the complaining, mully grubbing junk. I can only bow and say thank you. And see, that opens the door for the entrance to the presence of God that you need to bring you up. Enter His gates with something required in the heart, or that gate don't open. There's a code. My mother-in-law passed away, and we used to have the code to get into the apartment complex. It's a gated thing. And now we dog sit for her friend that used to bring this little dog called Zoe over. You know, and we go get Zoe once a week and dog sit on Friday night. Her master goes out, we go get the dog. And I've memorized now the code. I know the code. Used to have it on paper. Now I know it. I know what to press in, you know, and ding, ding, ding. And the gate opens for me. You know what the code is? To open the gates in the approach to God that opens that gateway to His presence. Thanksgiving. Always maintaining a grateful heart. You say, Brother Wimble, I got troubles. Yeah, but you got God. Thank you, Jesus. Aren't you glad you have Him? What would it be like to have all your troubles without Him? No wonder people drink and shoot up and toke up and smoke up. Can you say amen? Ah, but we lift Him up. Glory to God. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how God's going to do it. I couldn't figure Him out in a million years, but I know God is faithful tonight. Praise God. He's going to come through. Hallelujah. So let's be filled with gratitude to Him tonight and continue to praise Him in this song. Hallelujah. Ah, Jesus. You're calling us close tonight. Calling us near tonight to hide us in your pavilion. Cover us with the cover of your wings. Hallelujah. How we praise you for it. Amen. You may be seated for just a few moments tonight. As we move toward prayer this evening, there are so many things happening that are so prophetically significant. It's hard for me to believe that so many people, Christian people, are still so caught up with the cares of this world and the cares of this life. It's almost unbelievable if I wasn't here to see it and experience it. That so many Christians are caught up in the pace of living that the world is with the same values and the same goals in their life. It matches the world. And it is a time of great trouble. There are signs in the world, and we see those signs now, but there's also signs in the church. And I hear much more preaching and teaching, it seems like, prophetically, on the signs that are in the world than I do for the signs in the church. Something we're not addressing is what would be happening in the church, not just what's happening in the world, to signify the soon coming of Christ. And the signs in the church are very, very clear and concise in Scripture. That day shall not come. The day of the Lord will not come until there come a falling away first. Jesus, what shall be the sign of thy coming? When shall these things be? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, it's very clear and concise. Again, many false prophets shall go out into the world, and they shall deceive many. And because iniquity would abound, the love of many, not a few, it's not an aberration. Many, this is, you got to love him for that shall wax cold. You got to love him to fall out of love with him. This is not about the world. The world hasn't loved him. They need to meet him as their Savior. They certainly are not responsible at this point to love him. They should, but they simply do not. This is a sign in the church. Can you say amen? Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith. That's why Jesus said, when I come to the earth, shall I find faith? He's not talking about faith to believe for a Mercedes. He's not talking about faith to believe, for a mansion. He's not talking about faith to believe for gold and silver. He's talking about fidelity. He's talking about faithfulness. Amen. Paul, before the first generation of Christians passed, he said, I suppose it's needful that I write unto you that you earnestly contend or put up a real fight. Everybody say, put up a real fight. For what? For the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Well, we're in these last day scenarios, and these things are happening in the church, and we're getting an education. We're finding out who is truly committed and who isn't. We're in the day that everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, but there's a positive result of this negative so that which cannot be shaken might remain. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There is a people from a people. There is a true church. There is a bride of Jesus Christ. By the way, folks, he's coming soon. Ready or not, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. I just want to read something in a preface to this from Ezekiel, and then we're going to have a song, and then we're going to have a couple of short clips, one from the news and one from a little prophecy news broadcast, but both of them about what's happening right now in our world. Psalm 122 says we're to do more than just pray for our families and our needs and our churches. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, specifically to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Most of us are so caught up in our own personal needs that the peace of Jerusalem, that's way over there. And I got things that are right up front in my life. Well, I found out something. When I pray things that are close to God's heart, that are so vitally important to him, he takes care of so many things in my life. It's still part of putting the kingdom first. The book of James literally said that you have not because you ask not. You don't use your faith. And then there's a second reason for not receiving in prayer, is that you use your faith in a selfish manner. Can you say amen? You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not. You use your faith, but you use it in the wrong way to consume it on yourself. And we all need to be cautioned tonight, because my needs are so pressing and so great, it's easily to forget your needs. So I made a commitment when I pray to pray for your needs first, your families first, before I pray for my families. Amen. Why? So I stay out of that selfish mode. Amen. And I vowed not to pray any more for my son than I do your lost loved ones. Amen. And I've been trying to keep that with all of my heart. I've been trying to pray for myself last. Amen. And cover my family last. I began to include my uncle's family, who hasn't been too sweet to me, some of them. But he's with the Lord now, and there's no covering over them. And I just felt like the Lord prompted me, you can cover them. I'm a cousin. I'm not a daddy, but I am I am the eldest in this family, except for my dad right now. And I feel like I can cover them. You can cover people in prayer, folks. And it's powerful stuff. The book of Ezekiel chapter 38 is in focus in prophecy teachers right now, because the Middle East is a hotbed of the saber rattling. The dogs of war are barking very, very loud in the Middle East. The countries around Israel are committed to her destruction. Abinadab has said openly that they want to erase the memory of Israel from history. They want to be part of the process of erasing. Right now, there's a fleet of ships. I could have brought it, but I didn't have time for all the video separating things to put on here tonight. But there's a fleet of ships that are in that area right now from the United States of America. There are aircraft carriers. There are the attendant ships to them. And there's all kinds of art. It's an armada, literally, that is stationed. They are war ready. When they are asked, the Secretary of the Navy is asked, are you ready? Should we have to do something in terms of keeping that Strait of Hormuz open and defending our ships in that neighborhood? Are we ready to do that? And they said that we're absolutely ready. You know what that means? That means that we are in a state of high alert. We are ready to go to war. Amen. We are in the times that the Bible spoke of. I said it this morning. I want to say it very quickly tonight. When the Bible said wars and rumors of wars, that's happened since human history.
since.
Happened since Adam's fall. Earthquakes have been around throughout the history of the world, but not in the frequency and intensity that they are now. They're coming like labor pains. These are the beginning of sorrows, Christ said. Can you say, man? The beginning of sorrows, only used one time in Scripture. In the Greek, it means labor pains. And how do they know when you're getting close to birth? Because they get closer and closer together. He wasn't talking about the fact, oh, we've had world peace until now, and there's wars and rumors. No, we've never had world peace. Listen, but what is happening now, the frequency is what he's talking about. Amen. Not too many years ago, over a quarter million people were killed on a peaceful Sunday morning by a tidal wave. Not too many years ago. Most of us are so far past that, so involved in our daily life, we forgot that that actually happened. It's behind us. 9/11 is beginning to fade in our memories. Can you say amen? But these events are awesome events. The tidal wave in Japan was an incredible thing. It's just an incredible time to be living. And yet most people don't even take time to look around and see that the signs of the times are literally everywhere. Many Bible scholars and teachers of prophecy are looking back at Ezekiel chapter 38. Amen. Because chapter 37 of Ezekiel, God reestablishes Israel as a nation. Amen. Those dry bones is not the church, although there's a lot of dry bones in the church. Amen. Can these bones live? That's a good question sometimes. Only God can send true revival. How many know it's still the answer, still the same? Lord, thou knowest. And only we can open our hearts so he can. Praise God. But this is not about the church. This is about the nation of Israel. When all those bones came together and these dried, bleached bones became a mighty standing army. Amen. God spoke to Ezekiel and said, this is the whole house of Israel. Though they be scattered among the nations, I will bring them back into their land and they'll never be plucked up again. Can you say amen? So I'm going to tell you before the fight starts what's going to happen. Amen. There is a day coming, whether it's now or in the not too distant future, but there's a day coming when God will defend Israel supernaturally. It won't be an allies. It won't be her armies. It won't be her nuclear capabilities in and of itself. God will supernaturally defend Israel. He will actually, once the nations of the war have it in their heart to destroy Israel, according to Ezekiel 38, amen, that he will not let them back out. You say, if you're determined to have a showdown with me and see if I meant it when I said I'm going to keep my covenant with this nation. I didn't say her politics are always right. God's in covenant with us, and we're not always right either. But aren't you glad God is for us and not against us tonight? Can you say amen? I don't always agree with some of the politics and some of the decisions made by politicians. Politicians are politicians. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you something. This is promised land. And there's a promise to those who would inherit the promised land. And that is that you will never be plucked up again. Has anybody here been to Israel? Nobody's been. Amen. Well, see, we got enough. We get a few more people. We can get a plane load, and Pamela and I can go for free. All you have to do is just pay your own way. Amen. And they'll take us for nothing. But there's a museum called the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And over the entrance to the museum where all of these pictures things are concerning 6 million men, women, and children, where Hitler wanted to annihilate the whole Jewish race, amen, there is a sign as you enter that museum, never again. Can you say amen? They will fight. They will use their nuclear weapon. If they get cornered, they will use it. They will not wait for the world to give them permission to use it. And they are standing ready, war ready tonight, because they feel that Iran is going to attack them as soon as they have the nuclear capability because of the statements of that leadership. And now that America is stepping in, and here's the politics of it. I don't want to go too far into that. But now that America is stepping into this and going to have to make some decisions very soon about to what degree we're going to involve ourselves. Right now it's about oil, not about Israel. Right now it's about the Strait of Hormuz. Right now if that closes, 20% of the world's oil suddenly is choked. And honey, if you think the gas is high now, you ain't seen nothing yet. Can you say amen? This is serious business. This is serious, serious business. What makes it serious is that Russia said, you better not send troops into Iran because you're getting close to our borders. So if you send troops into that, it's going to antagonize the Russians are going to feel intimidated by American presence that close to their borders. And they're saying, you stay out of Iran. And China's lining up and saying, we're not going to agree with you over this if you go into that. So Israel's really becoming isolated now from the ally. Remember Desert Storm? You know what it began as? Desert Shield. And you know who we were shielding? We were shielding the nation of Israel. When we were over there, not for oil, but to protect Israel. I mean, oil might have been secondary, but primary, it was to protect Israel. Stormin Norman was the general then. Remember Stormin Norman, right out of Tampa guy? Don't mess with no Tampa guy. Amen. He was bad to the bone. He wanted to end that thing and get rid of all of that. Listen. It was Desert Shield, and we didn't lose hardly anything. It was one of the quickest, fastest. He will bless them that bless Israel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he blessed us in that battle, and it was a blessed battle. And they came out in droves not to fight. They came out to surrender because they didn't want any more. They didn't want any more. It was a righteous cause. We were there for the right reason, primarily Desert Shield. Amen. Now, there's politics entering, and oil has always been a big issue. But right now, we've got nations lining up in a war stance, in a readiness stance, all over the world. How Christians can not be about our Father's business now just absolutely blows me away. I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen it as bad as it is. So many uncommitted, undedicated, casual, carnal Christians around. Listen to me. This is no time to go after gold and apparel. Amen. This is a time to seek the kingdom. It's time to get ready for the coming of Jesus. This is time to get into the harvest fields and invest everything we are and everything we have into seeing people come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. All of heaven is going to line up, and God don't care what your shingle is over your building. Amen. If you are preaching Jesus and Him crucified, one mediator between God and man, all heaven's going to line up to bless that ministry because God wants those souls saved. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I believe that with all of my heart. I'm going to read this in Ezekiel, but I'm just going to tell you, he said, a day is coming when nations around Israel are going to Gog and Magog and all these other nations, and those ancient names have changed. Those nations exist today. They're still there. Amen. You can show the ancient map and a modern map, and the nations that he's talking about here exist today. And he said, when they set themselves to come down against my people Israel, they're going to do it thinking themselves to take a prey. They're going to come up against unwalled cities. Unwalled cities. Did you know the allies of Israel? I guess the UK reluctantly and the United States wishy-washy right now because we don't know how far to get involved in it. We're just coming out of two wars. And I'm going to tell you, financially, physically, materially, we're not ready for another big military operation. But it doesn't matter whether we're ready or not. We're in those end times. Amen. And so we're in the exact conditions that Jesus said would be happening. Wars and rumors that are not spaced out over time, but one thing right after another, one thing right behind another. Amen. These are the beginning of sorrows. How close are the birth pains? They're getting very close together. That means what's going to happen is going to happen quickly, and the coming of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord is also at hand, the time when the war-weary world is going to be glad to see the Antichrist step out on the scene with a solution to all of this and 3.5 years of false peace. The world is primed and ready for a man. One high-ranking official some years ago, it makes your skin crawl in the UN. You know what he said? He said, we need a man that can get the nations of the world to lay down their weapons of war, someone to get them to dismantle their arsenals of mass destruction and talk with one another and work together for world peace and the good of all humanity, whether he be angel or devil, we care not. What a prophetic statement someone just made. It will be the devil parading as a man of peace. And for 3.5 years, there's going to be peace. But this battle, is this the trigger? I really don't know. But I know one day, nations are going to ally with one purpose, to destroy Israel. And I know that the United States is not going to be strongly committed to her defense when that day comes, because it said they're going to come up against unwalled cities, thinking themselves to take a prey. And said when they decide to do it, and this is something, and I got to tell you this before, these are little 2.5 minute spots, and we're going to pray tonight. But I got to tell you this tonight. When they decide to do it, if you want to understand what God is doing in Ezekiel, you've got to go back and see when God hardened Pharaoh's heart. You'd think he's trying to get him to let him go. No, he said, I don't want you. It's too late now. I sent my servant. I told you, let him go. Amen. Who do I say sent me to Israel and to them? Tell him the I Am sent you. God of the universe sent you. Won't have no man refusing me. So the Bible said he hardened Pharaoh's heart. He said, since you won't let them go, I'm going to take them from you. And let the nations of the world, and you in particular, know there is a God in Israel. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I'm going to take them from you. I'm going to take, and he took them. Can you say amen? The Bible said by the time God got through with the plagues in Egypt, said they were glad to see them go. Now they came after him to kill him, but they were so weary of it, they said, please, leave. Can you say amen? There's a God in Israel. And the Bible said they gave them silver and gold on the way out. Here, this is for you. Just go. Hallelujah. He's God. And he says, if you won't listen to me, I want you to know there is a true and living God. And I want you to know he's a covenant-keeping God. So he says, when they decide to come down and attack Israel in this allied force, and Russia is mentioned in this, those nations in the Middle East are mentioned in this, and they all hate Israel. He said, I'm going to put a hook in their jaw. I'm going to put a hook in their jaw. They can't turn back. I'm going to do the same thing I did with Pharaoh. You want to hurt my people? Again, you say, I don't agree with Israel's politics. Hey, I don't agree with our politics. Amen. I'm still praying for America. Can you say, I still believe God has a plan for America. Listen carefully. He said, I'm going to bring them into the land. In other words, I'm going to bring them to do this. They can't turn back. I got a hook set. They're coming. And when they get here, I'm going to let them know there is a God that defends this nation and this people. Amen. So many people are going to die in that battle. The ships passing at sea, people can't come out of their cabins for the stench. And normally the sea is driving it in. That stench is so overwhelming, even the winds from the sea can't keep the smell of death from the passengers in the ships. 7 months burying the dead with all of the modern equipment we have. 7 months to bury the dead. It's an amazing thing. And the burning of the weapons. It's an incredible time. Bible scholars are looking at Ezekiel 37 when he reestablishes Israel as a nation. It happened in 1948. I was born a year before this prophecy here in Ezekiel came to pass. I'll bring you back. Though I scatter you to the nations, I'll bring you back into your own land, and you will never be plucked up again. That's God's commitment. That's his promise. And they're trying to pluck them up in Ezekiel 38. He says, it's not going to happen. I'm going to defend you. So God's prophetic timepiece is not America. We play a role, but the chief timepiece, the centerpiece of all prophecy is the nation of Israel. Can you say amen? And God is in control. Hallelujah. God is in control. We're gonna have this song right now. There's a song that came from it's a prophetic song. Robin, you've heard it a lot of times, but there's a story behind the song. And some songs are just praise and worship, and some songs are celebrations of the faith, and some songs are an answer to prayer, and they're prophetic. And Robin Mark said he when he wrote, "These are the days of Elijah," maybe you need to understand what that's really all about prophetically. He said, I prayed after I watched some things on TV, things that were going on throughout the world, devastating stories, he said, like the Rwandan situation, other things, the famines, the wars, the heartache, the heartbreak. He said, as I watched all of this unfold, I found myself despairing about the state of the world. And in prayer, began asking God if he really was in control. And what sort of days were we living in? He said, I felt in my spirit that he replied to my prayer by saying that indeed he was very much in control. And that the days that we were living were special times when he would require Christians to be filled with integrity, to stand up for him just like Elijah did, particularly with the prophets of Baal. These are Elijah days. Elijah's story is in the book of Kings, and you can read how he felt isolated and alone in the culture in which he lived. But God told him to stand up and speak for him. These are the days of Elijah for the church of Jesus Christ. He said he also needed to be, we also need to be a holy and just people. And hence the reference to the days of your servant Moses, meaning the righteousness and right living. Oh, this is prophetic. This is what we need to hear from pulpits in America. This is what the church needs to get back to. Righteousness and right living was important in all our attitudes and works. Now that we're under grace and not law, but the righteousness that comes by faith can be no less than the moral law that Moses brought direct from God. We're not out from under. He still means you're not supposed to kill people, okay? You're not supposed to steal. Let him that steals steal no more under grace in the New Testament. Hallelujah. He still condemns adultery as sin. It was sin then, it's sin now. Hallelujah. He said, in fact, Jesus told us that our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, who were the most ardent followers of God's laws as presented by Moses. Jesus was after righteous servant hearts, of course, that desired to live holy lives for him. Days of great trial, of famine, darkness, and sword is a reflection of the apparent times in which we live, when our still thousands of people die every day from starvation, malnutrition, and war. In the midst of it all, we are called to make a declaration of what and who we believe in. What a time for the church to shine. Hallelujah. Because the world doesn't have any hope, and we have great hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. The second verse refers to the restoration of unity of the body. What Jesus prayed for, that they may be one as I and the Father are one. And the prophetic vision of the valley of dry bones becoming flesh and being knit together. There are lots of interpretations of this picture, but one is of a united church rising up in unity and purpose. That is the spiritual sense for us, not for the nation of Israel, which is the number one reason for that vision. And it's a powerful call on us in these days. The restoration of praise and worship to the church is represented by the days of your servant David. Some folks use the term restoration to describe this restoring of attributes to the church. But in the song, it's mainly a picture of worship. Of course, David didn't get to build the temple. And let's see how he put it. I can put it in my words, but I'd rather put it in his tonight. The song line is to rebuild. That was left to Solomon, his son. But David was used by God to introduce a revised form of worship, praise, and thanksgiving. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And he goes on to say, finally, the days of the harvest point toward that great purpose of God and of the Christian is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. By the way, the fields are white in the world. Is from the old King James Version that means they're ripe unto harvest. These are the themes of the verses, declaration, righteousness, unity, and worship. And I chose to express these thoughts in song. The chorus is the ultimate declaration of hope, and it's Christ's return. It's paraphrased from the book of Revelation and Daniel. Praise God. Amen. But it's all about, amen, how we are to celebrate the soon coming of Jesus Christ as our Savior. Can you say amen? Folks, if you're not living with a sense of prophetic timing, we're in the kingdom for a time such as this. And this is no time. Oh, God knows we need our bills paid. We talked about that this morning. I believe if we put His kingdom first, He's going to address those needs in our life. God knows you need clothes, you need shelter, you need light bill money, grocery money. He knows you need gas for your vehicle. Amen. But if we will begin to prioritize our life and we'll pray, Thy kingdom come. You know what that means? That means your will be done, just like it says, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Listen, if I begin to pray the priorities of God's kingdom, He's going to address these things in my life. I'm not going to have to spend a lot of, I'll pray for Him, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time asking Him for these things. Amen. Because the Father knows that I need all these things. And if I put the kingdom first, He said, all these things shall be added unto you, not because I'm going after them, because I'm going after Him. Can you say amen? These are the days of Elijah. How many believe that tonight? Praise God. Let's give Him praise before we pray in just a few moments.
Shining light. Fox News alert now. A new report raising the possibility that Israel is preparing to attack Iran and to carry out that attack within months. This now from the Washington Post, quoting Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, who believes there's a strong likelihood, it writes, that Israel will strike Iran in April, May, or June before Iran enters what Israelis described as a zone of immunity to commence building a nuclear bomb, end quote. Leland Vittert on this out of Jerusalem. What are the Israelis saying about what Panetta says?
Officially nothing, Bill, but last night the Israeli defense minister gave a very ominous warning. He said that often when you wait to the last minute, you have waited too long. And the Israelis have made it clear that they will not allow Iran to get the bomb at any cost. The Iranians aren't shying away from a war of words either. Today, the Ayatollah went on television. He said Israel was a cancer that needed to be cut out from the world. And his adoring crowd chanted back, "Death to Israel." And Israel is a little bit more limited than the United States is when it comes to being able to bomb Iran's nuclear facilities. And the thought is that they would have to do it in the next couple of months. And the Secretary of Defense's comments may have been about the weather. Sources here tell us the best time for an Israeli attack would be sometime between March and June. That's when the weather patterns are most optimal. And by the time the next cycle would roll around, when the weather would be acceptable for an Israeli attack, by then, Bill, it might be too late.
And what are the risks of Iranian retaliation? How does that scenario play out, do you believe?
Great question. There are significant risks to Israel. You could have anything from a mini war where Iran would order Hezbollah in Lebanon and then Hamas and Islamic Jihad down in Gaza to launch rockets into Israel. You could also have Iranian ballistic missiles flying into Israel. And today, Iran put up some video of launching a satellite. It'd be very easy in 18 months to put a nuclear bomb on the tip of that very same kind of missile. Bill, back
Leland Vittert in Jerusalem. We will talk with the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee about all this.
Before this is played from a prophetic sense, God's people are not to be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Fear not is one of the most used words in the New Testament. When you see these things begin to come to pass, you are supposed to be in a state of sanctified, holy anticipation. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. But in the busyness of life, God's people are not about their Father's business. And if you think the world as we know it, and the United States, some political party, is going to change all of this scenario so that you can be comfortable and I can be comfortable and the world can go to hell in a handbasket as long as I got ESPN in 3D, we're very mistaken. It'll never be the same. It's not going to be, folks, are you painting this bad picture? Not for us. He's going to take care of me and you. I'm young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. God's going to make a way. In fact, I believe we're going to see more miracles when the demand is greater. Amen. When I can't find a way, God will make a way. There's something ought to be a scripture, it isn't, but boy, it's scriptural, isn't it? He will make a way where there seems to be no way. That's not a scripture, but it is so scriptural. He's done it before, and he's going to do it again. But we need to get back to God. We need to come close to God. We need to put God first in our life and all of our affairs once again so that he can shelter us in the cover. Did you know for a mother hen to shelter those chicks like Jesus said he wanted to do Jerusalem? They got to get close to that mama. They can't be running all over the barnyard and expect to be protected. Can you say, man? But he said, I will hide you under the covert of my wings. Praise God. Hey, but how many times would I have taken you where? Under my wing. Amen. And you know what they chicks do when it thunders? They run for mama. When there's a threat, they run for mama, because mama opens her wings and they run underneath and she closes her wings around them. And honey, if I were you, I'm not you and I can't make your life decisions for you, but I can hold a standard here and challenge you. If I were you, I'd get close to God again. I'd get back to God at all cost. I wouldn't run around the barnyard and just hope that it turns out okay somehow. His promise is, I'll hide you under the covert of my wings. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, you got to get close to him for that. And that's what the church is, seems to be reluctant to do, because we're just too busy for God. Amen. How do you think all this is going to turn out for you? Because this world's never going to be like it was before until Jesus comes and puts it right. We need to be real close to him. And I pray in this prayer tonight, after we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that we will get close to him. Praise God and stay close to him so that he can take care of you and me and for the times and days ahead. Hallelujah. I don't think Uncle Sam's big enough to do that for me.
Here are the Straits of Hormuz, the Persian Gulf, the Indian Ocean, and Iran. Once again, the world attention is focused upon Iran and its growing nuclear capability and the implications for the Middle East, for the state of Israel, for the price of oil in the entire world. And again, we are focused upon what's taking place there in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. We're reminding ourselves where that is and how close that is to Jerusalem and Israel and how they're just surrounded by all the Arab states. And I think sometimes we forget how close that is and all the commotion that's going over there right now with warships right in the Straits of Hormuz, the United Naval Base right there, and everything's on high alert because of all the difficulties that are going on right now.
And world leaders have said that a nuclear Iran is a question that is not going to be acceptable. It is not an acceptable situation. Will Israel attack, do a preemptive attack to knock out the Iranian capability? Will America support it? What will China and Russia do? All of this is swirling around us once again as we realize we're coming down to a decision time. Diplomatic sanctions are not really working, and will the military option have to be played?
Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt the Middle East is the focus of Bible prophecy, Jerusalem in particular. In fact, we've talked a lot about it. We've had programs about it. We have lots of literature about the Middle East and Bible prophecy. It is a focal point for the end time.
And it puts us back to exactly what Jesus said when he was asked what would be the signs of the end of the age and his comment about world conditions.
Mm-hmm. In Luke chapter 21, he said very specifically that when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first. And then he said in verse 10, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So there will be a great tribulation. There will be a focus on difficulties in the Middle East. And so we better be ready and we better be watching for that time.
And when we hear this talk, that puts us once again to Christ's warning there. And the idea of a warning and watching really puts us back to understanding what is our spiritual condition, or is it on high alert? Is it strong enough to be able to properly discern the times and to know how strong our relationship with God is? That's the ultimate test for us as Christians.
That is. It's not just watching the news, but it's making sure your spiritual life, you're watching that and you're ready for Christ's return.
That's BT Daily. Join us next time.
Let's stand together and let's have a word of prayer together. We need a revival in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know that, and I know that. If you don't feel like you need it in your life, you should be the first one in the altar tonight. You should be in the altar tonight. You shouldn't just be in this building. You should be in this altar tonight. Amen. Because God is not going to let the church just go after the silver and gold. And the message from so many preachers tonight is silver and gold. And the question, the ancient question is asked of Elisha's servant, is this such a time? Is this such a time to go after silver and gold? Is this such a time to get so involved in pleasuring your flesh that you're oblivious to the times that we're living? Is this such a time to watch families disintegrate because their values match the world's? Is this such a time to go after gold and apparel when ministers with worldwide ministries are falling and giving in to fleshly sins instead of demonstrating leadership and calling the church to dedication and commitment to Christ? We're hard-pressed for spiritual leaders, just as hard-pressed as we are for political leaders today that are up to the task that is at hand. But we need to hear from God tonight. Can you say amen? Now, there are churches that'll soothe you, pat you on your head, and pat you on your back. They're lying to you. They're crying peace when it isn't promised. Amen. Except we come close to him and achieve his peace. This world will never know peace, true peace, until he comes and stands upon Mount Olivet and begins his kingdom. But until then, we need to draw close to him. And friend, believe it or not, we need to draw close to one another and support one another. I don't know how bad it's going to get before Christ comes, but push come to shove, I'm coming to your house. Hallelujah. And push come to shove, you sure going to be welcome in my house. And if we have to have potluck supper every night and pray together every evening, praise God, and everybody brings something to put in the pot, amen, that wouldn't be such a bad thing. Can you say, man, it really wouldn't be such? Maybe we could cut off the television. Maybe we could light the menorah. Hallelujah, and have a candlelight supper together and feel the closeness of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. One thing I do know, that something's going to go in this old belly. He's going to make a way for that. Hallelujah, because my God is not my belly. Hallelujah, my God is the Lord. Praise the Lord of heaven and earth. Father, we thank you tonight. Let's join hands right where you are tonight. Let's just pray together tonight. Father, in Psalm 122, we're told to pray for something we probably, in honesty, never rarely pray for because our needs are so pressing. But we are told in the Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And Father, we know, Lord, that we are a wild olive branch, most of us grafted in to that true vine. We pray for our brethren because they are our brethren. We have become Abraham's seed by faith. They are Abraham's seed by birth. But Lord, we are Abraham's seed. We are in covenant with you. In fact, we are in a blood covenant with you. And Father, we come to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Lord, for that mighty hedge around this country to stand the onslaught, the intent to destroy and murder every man, woman, boy, and girl in that little piece of land no bigger than New Jersey. But oh God, it is the most controversial, it is the most fought over piece of terra firma on this planet historically and right now in our day. And it signifies when you see, amen, Israel, Jerusalem, the holy city, you see the holy nation encompassed with armies bent on their destruction, you know that the desolation is at hand. Oh, the day of the Lord is hastening greatly. And Father, we know that your coming is soon. And Father, we want to be in a state of readiness, Father. Oh, Father, demonstrate the strength of your covenant like you did through Moses with ancient Israel to the mightiest nation in the world. Now, you have no choice. You're going to have to lose these people that you have enslaved. I'm going to take them from you. And in the taking them from you, I'm going to demonstrate that there is a true and living God in Israel. God will roar out of Zion. Not as the lamb, but as the lion of Judah. Father, I praise you that you're still the I Am. You're still the mighty one of Israel. Hallelujah. You're still the covenant keeping God. And you keep your covenant to 1,000 generations. And the way that you're keeping Israel with so many adversaries, so many enemies, keeping covenant to 1,000 generations gives me courage tonight. Because I'm now one of those spiritual Israelis, one of those spiritual Hebrews. I know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob tonight. And he's my heavenly Father. Hide us in your pavilion. Cover us with your skirts. Hallelujah. Hide us in the covert of your wings tonight. Save our lost loved ones tonight. Our friends and relatives that don't know you tonight. Stir our churches, oh God, and our ministers in the name of Jesus Christ. Give them a message. Hallelujah. That is like a trumpet blast on Sunday morning. Let them quit worrying about their jobs and quit worrying about where people applaud them. Let them bring a message from the heart of God. I pray on Sunday morning, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. And let me speak, not as a trained professional preacher. Let me speak as the oracle of God. Let me not draw back when you tell me to lift up my voice like a trumpet. When you tell me to call your own people to account before you, to show the house of Jacob her sins, not to just talk about the world, but the church. We're the key to evangelism in the world. We're the key to revival in the world. Father, I pray tonight that a mighty revival would come to the church again. To the church. You loved the church and gave yourself for it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have great worth and great value to you. As many as you love, you rebuke and chasten. It doesn't mean you quit loving us. It doesn't mean that you don't want to do something wonderful when we repent. It means that we broke covenant with you, but you're ready to make covenant with us. To keep covenant with us. Shalabakoro shalabadi andada bakule. Nandada baro shalabakiti andada bara. Nandada baro shalabadi andada bakosili anda. Kezada baho sala. Nandada baro shili andada barianda. Shalabakosia. Nandada bakosala bariata. Oh Lord, let us watch and see you keep Israel. And let us take courage that you're going to keep us as well. In our conditions, our circumstances, from our enemies. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we praise you tonight. Hallelujah. All week long, please pray thy kingdom come. Amen. Before you present your personal needs to God, all those pressing things in your own life and family, talk about His kingdom. Let's get involved in His kingdom. We're a kingdom of priests and kings unto Him. We can take the ephod. He will listen. He will hear. He will honor us when we intercede. Shalabakuru shalabariandadabukusala selabarotarabasataya. Hallelujah. We stand between God and the people. Halabakusala barosha salabakia. To minister in their behalf, to represent them and to God and to represent God to them. These are they that have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And God has made them unto Himself kings and priests. Hallelujah. We have great authority to pray. Hallelujah. Kingdom authority. Amen. Shalabako, we're not. Oh, Shalabarian Dadabako Salabaritia. Shalabakarabasitian Dadabakosa. Father, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How we honor you tonight. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Father, we give you praise tonight. We give you praise tonight. We give you praise tonight. I believe with all of my heart that we could well be what I call and others are calling the Enoch generation. A generation that's going to walk with God. Hallelujah. Even in an evil, evil, evil culture, that we're going to walk with God. Hallelujah. Enoch walked with God. He didn't just go to church, friend. He walked with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said he walked with God. One little girl heard about Enoch. She come home and her mama asked her, said, what did you learn today in Sunday school? She said, oh, mama, 5 years old. She said, we studied about Enoch. Said, well, he used to walk with God every day, mama. He walked with God every single day. Him and God just got together every day and they went on these long walks together. And one day, amen, they got so close. God got so close to Enoch and Enoch got so close to God, amen, that God said, Enoch, you know something? Today, we're closer to my house than we are your house. So why don't you just come home with me? Can you say amen? Glory be to God. Amen. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Shall, if you think the rapture is going to be something new, or when he takes his church home, whatever you want to call it, amen, is going to be something new, you're very mistaken. It's already been demonstrated what God can do. Can you say amen and what he will do? And you know what God is doing? He's saying, come on, church, walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can you say amen? Come close, and he'll cover you with his pinions. Come close, he'll shelter you. In his pavilion, he will spread his skirt over thee spiritually. How excellent is thy loving kindness. How excellent is thy loving kindness. O God, therefore the sons of men put their trust under the covert of your wings. Can you say, man, God's wings are spread tonight. I'm convinced of that. Shalabakosalamare. In this very dangerous time that we're living, this perilous time, this outrageous time, he's saying, come near and I will cover you. Come near that I may cover you. Come near that I may cover you and keep you. You don't have to be destroyed by the devil. Your home doesn't have to be destroyed. Your marriage doesn't have to be destroyed. Your health does not have to be destroyed. Are there no promises from your God to you? Did he not address these things? But he needs you to come near. Christians running around the barnyard with a wolf and a fox and a snake. Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times would I have taken you under my wings like a mother hen does her chicks? You don't have to be destroyed like this. You don't have to see, amen, the temple desecrated. You don't have to see this. You don't have to see 1 million Jews crucified by Nero. Did you know long before fireworks came on the scene, there was a term called the Roman candle? Nero's garden parties, his orgies, to take Christians, bind them to poles, tar them, and light the tar. And they became the candles for the party, the burning bodies of men and women that said, do what you will, I will not turn loose of Jesus. Can you say amen? Glory to God. 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 Leonard Ravenhill said it best as we close tonight. America has been cursed with blessings. You know why blessings turn to curses? When you forget God and become independent, unthankful and unholy. Can you say amen? Then the blessing becomes a curse. And said America has been blessed with, cursed with blessings, and if she doesn't repent, she's going to be blessed with cursings. Can you say amen? If you don't hearken to the voice of your God, listen to me. Cursed thou shalt be in the city. Cursed thou shalt be in the field. That's not the devil, honey. That's God talking. Can you say, man, we think all our issues is with the devil and our lack of faith. No, there's heart issues between us and God. And it'll never be solved till we come back home. But when we come back home, he returns to us. And oh, what a difference it makes when God comes back. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Are you glad you came tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you glad God is calling you tonight? I'm glad he's calling me. I need that stimulus, because the world is like a current that you don't have to make a conscious decision in a current. All you have to do is not press forward. The current will take you back. Can you say amen? But when you realize it's doing it, then you have to make a conscious decision and concerted effort. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus. How many believe God's still on the throne tonight, and he will keep his covenant if we will come back to him? Let's just have a praise song for him. If you have to go, you may. Let's just praise him tonight. Have you seen the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Amen. Are you looking and setting your gaze upon Jesus, the mighty Lion of Judah tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. I've seen the Lamb, and I've seen the Lion and the Lamb, and the Lamb and the Lion tonight. I'm so glad I know both tonight. His power and his mercy, his grace and his strength.